Hello and welcome to the Lead Hership Show. I am your host, Harriet Schumacher, certified executive coach and women's leadership expert. Thank you for tuning in. Each week, we bring forward-thinking, inspiring, and real conversations for women who want to lead and live more fully. I'm so excited to have you here. I hope you enjoy the next conversation. Thanks for tuning in. All right, we are live and so excited to have on the show today, Gina McFetridge, who is, I think you're calling from Halifax. I didn't even ask if you're in Halifax today. You're in Halifax today. Okay, great. So Gina McFetridge is we've been connecting here and just such an amazing female leader here in Atlantic Canada. And she works and leads an amazing team of insurance professionals at one of the largest insurance brokerages in Atlantic Canada, which is Archway Insurance. And I just learned that you have over 30 locations across the Maritimes. I can't even imagine, the complexity of that and the opportunity that exists with all of that from a leadership perspective. So very excited to have you here and to talk about so many topics, talking about, leading in COVID and being a female leader. You're also a mom to two boys, and really talking about the need for women to take charge of their careers. And so thank you for being here. Thank you for raising your hand and saying, I'd love to have a conversation today. Welcome to the show, Gina.
Thank you so much. I'm thrilled to be here and hope I can offer some words that might resonate with a few of your listeners.
I'm sure you will. I mean, you have a wealth of experience and I'm excited to learn from you today and really get a sense of, your view on leadership, specifically, women in leadership. And so why don't you kick things off by telling us a little bit about your story and your background, how you got to where you are today, maybe some of the lessons learned along the journey, and then we'll dive into some of the things that we want to talk about today.
Yeah, sure. I'm the president of Archway Insurance. My it's a family business. My brother and I are business partners, 50-50. And we are the second generation owners, took over from my father. And since joining the business in 2010, when I joined, we had about 25 employees. And my brother and I have taken that to a 31 location operation with over 200 employees across Nova Scotia and New Brunswick. So It's been an incredible journey. A lot of change management, a lot of growth, a lot of moving parts, incredibly exciting. I wouldn't have it any other way, which is surprising. I grew up in small town Nova Scotia, born in Amherst, junior high and high school down in Yarmouth on the South Shore, and had my parents were very entrepreneurial their whole life. My dad left the banks in 85 and bought a small brokerage, and we've grown through acquisitions since that time. My mother as well ran a number of businesses. She's a teacher by trade, didn't really enjoy it, ran a children's store. We had a bed and breakfast at one point in time. it's an ice cream bar and dry cleaners called the Dairy Queen until we got a letter from Dairy Queen. It's been an interesting journey. And strangely enough, growing up in that entrepreneurial environment, I was the oldest of three children. I have two younger brothers. The one who's not my business partner is a paramedic over in Newfoundland now. And I had no interest in getting involved in the family business and was I would say actively discouraged by my parents that, thought, let's get them educated. Let's get them careers. Let's get them good, jobs at big companies that, because they've obviously everything's worked out well in the end, but there were a lot of late nights and struggles early on. And I think, they just wanted some stability for us and business bored me, or so I thought. So I headed off on a completely different career path. I was going to be the next Pamela Wallen on the Journal.
And, wow, cool.
Yeah. I'm dating myself now, back in the 80s.
For those of you who are listening who don't know who Pamela Wallen is, I can feel the Googling happening right now. Yes, yeah, I know. I do that all the time.
Pre-Senate scandal. She was a journalist. But anyways, graduated from that, getting ready to head into that field, which was under a tremendous shift of changes, and realized quickly that it actually wasn't the right fit for me. Ended up flipping over to marketing and communications work with an IT company here in the city, and very quickly started gravitating towards more supervisory and management type positions, and moved from IT over into the financial services world, and again found myself consistently looking towards leadership and management positions, which I guess maybe that was the entrepreneurial spirit, the want to be in control maybe mm-hmm. of the situation, which mm-hmm. I didn't recognize earlier in my career, but eventually as the family business grew and the need for a succession plan came into play, and my brother needed a partner, led me surprisingly and happily back to the family business, and it's just been an incredible journey, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah, it sounds incredible. Well, congratulations on the rapid growth and like the tremendous growth that you have experienced since 2010, from 25 employees to over 200, and all of that entails. So, which I'm sure has not been any sort of small feat. And, you know, one of the things that we were talking about prior to this is, you know, how a lot of women, career-wise, professional women tend to kind of get stuck or plateau in their career in like a support position, and not necessarily maybe have their sight on leadership, but for some reason don't get there, don't ascend to that position of leadership. I'd be curious on your perspective, having traveled that journey yourself, and being where you are right now. What do you think are some of the barriers that get in the way for women being able to ascend to more, prominent, more senior levels of leadership, based on your experience? What do you think are some of the barriers there?
Oh my, there's a number of barriers there. Confidence obviously plays a role, as well. I would maybe conflicting priorities at different points in time in their career that, people misinterpret in terms of, their ambition. And we as women, I think, we're often accused of this in our personal relationships. And I think it ties into our professional as well, is that we think that people understand us sort of innately, that they just, you should know what I'm thinking, and you should know, by my actions, I shouldn't have to say this is what I want. You should see it in, my dedication and the work that I'm doing. And people are busy. People are all living kind of in their own bubble, and they're not focused on you. So there is that need to kind of vocalize what it is you want. I remember going into one of my job interviews in my earlier years, and this was after having had a taste of management, and was looking for an opportunity in a different field, so had to step into less of a leadership role in the organization, and my boss, or as I did end up getting the job at the time, looked at me and he said, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And he was, getting up there a bit. And I said, honestly, I would like to have your job.
Yeah.
And, I think it's important that we voice that. People aren't mind readers. And it's important that, we make aware of our aspirations, if nothing else, to help ensure that people can help us get there. Because if there's certain skill sets or characteristics that they feel are missing, then you get an opportunity to work on that. So when the chance comes to move to that next level or that next position, you've done the work and people know you're interested in it.
I'm so happy that you have said this. So I really believe that no one cares about your career as much as you do. And it's not really fair to expect your boss to care about your career more than you do. You know, they like what you said is so real. Everybody's kind of not in a malicious way, but really we think about ourselves, you know, all day long. Like that's how we're oriented. So to expect people to just notice how hard you're working and think, well, we should really either take some pressure off, or we should give you more responsibility, or we should promote you or give you a raise. And yet that's a pattern that I find a lot of women get stuck in, which is, let me just put my head down and keep saying yes and keep working. And maybe somebody's just going to notice and reward me for this. So you're saying that that is not, that it's an approach. It's just not necessarily the one that's going to help you.
No, you know, it may work, but mm-hmm. it's a risk I wasn't willing to take. I can tell right. you that.
mm-hmm. Yeah. So asking for what you want and at least advocating for your growth. I love that piece. I mean, that reminds me of, you know, when I was working inside organizations, I remember at a young age saying to because I'm so old now, but you know, younger, yeah. I remember saying that to my boss, I want your job.
Yeah.
And, you know, not like from a competitive standpoint, no, like I'm out to get you, but like, no.
Kind of way. And you know, yeah. he was a great guy and he didn't take it that mm-hmm. way. He took it for what it was, someone who wanted to grow their career within the organization.
So what would you say to women right now who are, because we also talked about this conditioning that's happened over the years, that we are supposed to have it all and be it all and do it all. And I would imagine that there are women who want more, but it's already so much, the thought of taking on more just feels like too daunting. So that's one of the reasons why I'm not going for it, because I can't imagine the next level of responsibility. What would you say to those women who are thinking that way right now?
Well, it's about choices, right? And I do think we were at a younger age, that the generation I'm a part of, we're told that we could have it all. We could, you know, run the company or run the government, whatever, and mm-hmm. and be a super mom, and the level of expectations in all areas of our lives has just been ratcheted up so much. You know, it's not enough to grab some cookies at Superstore and drop your kid off anymore. You're supposed to be making organic whatever, yeah. this, that, and the other thing, and be there the whole time with them while at the same time giving yourself 100% to your job. And I think we need to be realistic in terms of what we can achieve and what really brings us joy in our life as well. Mm. I think it's important we have things for ourselves, for those of us that are mothers. You know, it's a passion that will be there for your life, but your children aren't your entire life. Your children, if you're successful, will someday leave you and go on to live their own lives too. So it's important to nurture yourself and to not, I think, just cordon yourself off into one area. So, mm-hmm. Forgive yourself for your imperfections, for not being able to give 100% in all places. But if you want to go for that, you know, maybe you do have some conversations with your partner about them doing more at home mm-hmm. with the kids. So that gives you the time to dedicate to the office, or maybe that other organization that you're working, you know, find the spaces, but I would hate that to be a barrier to women mm-hmm. moving their career forwards.
Well, it kind of, you know, I got a little thought that popped into my head as you were describing that, when you said, you know, your kids are not going to be in your life forever. Like, you know,
they are, but
not in that, like, they're not going to live on your roof forever. Like, they're going to outgrow your environment eventually and move on and start to build their own lives. And I think that's really important to make the connection between leading at home and leading at work, because leadership ultimately is about something similar, in the sense that, and I'd love your view on this, it's not about controlling everybody to, you know, stay in, like, under you, you know, it's about helping people to surpass their own and your expectations and grow and thrive and move on, right?
Exactly.
So, yeah. So what's your philosophy around leadership? Like, what's your view? Maybe that would be interesting to hear. Like, what's your style and what do you think is, what's effective for you?
I guess I see my primary role as sort of chief barrier remover in terms of the day to day. Is really that my job is to remove barriers so everybody else within the organization can do their job effectively. So that's a big part of it. Cheerleader as well, mm-hmm. I guess. Mm-hmm. I believe in what we're doing. I believe in the vision of our company. I want to share that with mm-hmm. people that are passionate. I want people to be passionate about it. I want mm-hmm. them to be excited to come into work, that this is a career, not just a job. Those are big things. And I guess, you know, vulnerability and authenticity as well. You know, if I make a mistake, I'm quick to let people know and to course correct. And I've worked for people and have been told over the years by maybe mostly men, but, you know, that, oh, you should never admit you're wrong. You should never say you're sorry. And I just, you know, I think that's an antiquated way of managing people. I won't say leading, because I don't think it's leading. I think good leaders show people, you know, that they're vulnerable, that they're not perfect, but they're always willing to change. They're always pushing forward. Their outlook is positive. The glass is half full. And that didn't work out. So let's not focus on what didn't work. How are we going to make it better? What can we do from here to make things better?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. That's always been like, let's look towards the future, like that sort of future focused orientation, given where we are right now, what can we do about it? Like, how can we learn from this? How can we improve it? How can we make it better?
It's my role is one role within the company, and mm-hmm. yeah, I'm an owner, but honestly, I don't kid myself that I couldn't be replaced tomorrow. Everyone is replaceable, and it's not to say that I don't think I have an important role within the organization, but I don't see myself as, you know, above anyone else. We really tried to flatten that, what is a quite traditional industry, so mm-hmm. that, you know, anyone, my office is, you know, anyone can come in. We're very approachable and mm-hmm. yeah.
So I think, you know, just having, we both have businesses in Atlantic Canada, and they're, we're going through a change in the way in which business is being conducted, specifically our view on leadership, which is one of the reasons why I started my company, is because I wanted to breathe new life into what I thought was really kind of a male dominated and traditional business ecosystem. You know, the old boys club was alive and strong, men still is in some areas, and, you know, no judgment on that, just that's the system, that was what was set up, right? That's what it was. And you know, I think about women in leadership. For many of us, we are working our way into a system that was never really designed for us to be in the first place. So learning how to thrive in that environment. So you have a lot of experience working in male-dominated industries, and I know there's a lot of women here who are listening who that is their reality. And, you know, we hear some things from research, which is, you know, the way to succeed in a male dominated industry is to become more masculine in terms of how you approach, because that gets you in the door and that gets you accepted. I'm curious about your view on that and the distinction between like adapting to the environment that you're in versus choosing authenticity. And what do you think is, what's your view on that? I guess
I'll just put that out there. Honestly, it is something that I struggle with. You know, I know I spoke to that, and I do believe in making my own path. I do have my own style of leadership that doesn't follow the traditional insurance brokerage, dad's business, hands it to the son, and, you know, all, you know, the ladies making coffee for him and a type of environment that, but on the flip side, you know, we've grown through mergers and acquisitions. Mm-hmm. Most of the businesses that we've purchased have been from traditional, you know, white male business, yeah. Atlantic Canada businessmen. And, you know, mm-hmm. I've been referred to by, you know, often there's periods where, you know, they continue to work for us to ensure the transition of the business after the acquisition, have been referred to as, I just think of you as my daughter. Why? Like, well, and, you know, introduced or gone to a lot of industry events, and people come up to my husband and they're like, oh yeah, what's your brokerage? And he goes, not me, it's her. And so it's a combination. Sometimes, you know, I will speak up, and sadly, sometimes I've sat silently or nodded and grinned and smiled and gone, well, they don't mean it that way. And that's not really advancing the cause, but it is something that I've struggled with for sure, mm-hmm. in terms mm-hmm. of when and where I want to rock the boat and with who.
Yes. So going back to, I mean, I'm just reminding me of some feedback that I received a few years ago from a, you know, pretty senior executive here in Halifax, who said, I can really see you as a trainer, I just don't see you as an executive coach, because it just didn't fit the profile. Like, executive coaches at that time were retired white men who had been leading a business of some sort, and they're someone that they could see in that role. So I was female, young, you know, trying to do something different. I just didn't fit the mold. So, you know, I was like, and as soon as I received that feedback, I didn't say anything. But I remember it stinging. Like, I was like, yes, I know that is, I feel like an imposter here. I know that. I feel that on a daily basis. I know that's what I'm up against. And yet here I am anyway. So it was like, ugh, not only do you see it, but I feel it. And now, I mean, it was good feedback, because it pushed me to want to continue to keep doing what I'm doing. But if I had lacked confidence, I can imagine how that could have really set me back to wanting to, you know, fall back into the role that was safer, you know, where it wasn't going to be as difficult. One thing that I wanted to ask you about, though, specifically is, you know, what do you think women are being called, you know, to do in leadership right now? Because we're going through, obviously, we've had COVID-19 this year. We're hearing from, you know, workforce statistics in Canada that we have, you know, that this is a she session, that women are stepping back from work, that there is, you know, 1 in 4 women who are contemplating or who are contemplating not going back to work because they just don't feel like the environment is setting them up to be able to succeed. So what's your view on that? What should we be thinking about as we move through this next season of work and, you know, an economic repair, I guess, is where we're going in the future.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that a lot lately. You know, there's my company is very female dominated. We have a lot of women, and we have women that are and men, to be fair, that are really struggling with COVID. And I have seen a disproportionate amount, whether it's a sick loved one, an elderly parent, or young children. The moms with young children were really hit the hardest, because we worked really hard to get people set up so that they could work from home during the dark days when things were really bad during the first wave. And that wasn't enough for some people, because when they had no childcare and they had young children at home that needed their attention. And it was really frustrating to me that there really weren't options available at that time for some of these people to, you know, be able to continue with their career and look after their young children. I think, you know, we need as a society to be thinking about that as well, you know, in terms of, you know, if we're going to have fully participating members. And, you know, in some cases, I know for a fact that some of my employees were home looking after their children while their husbands, who earned less money than them, were still working. So I question that, you know, that there needs to be kind of that shift as well, in terms of why was his career favored over hers in this situation, yes, especially when her income was more, you know, significant to the family's well-being. But we're certainly, you know, have been looking at our operations. We deal with the public. There's an expectation that people will be able to come in and meet with us. The world is shifting. More things are being done digitally as well. And so we're looking at how and when and ways that we can set people up for success, whether, you know, they're a single mom or they're looking to be the next manager of one of our locations. So
I mean, I think it goes so deep, you know, when I think about this, like my, you know, my heart aches for all moms, you know, this year specifically, and anybody who's in a caring position, because, you know, societally it's like we're it's a double bind that we're in. It's like, okay, we'll have more, work more, earn more, lead, fill the gaps, you know, close the gender gap, take on the leadership roles, like step up, sit at the table, you know, use your voice, all of these things. And could you also just do all of the other things too? And so what I'm coming up against with a lot of the women that I'm speaking to is just an incredible amount of burnout. Like, we have given so much and been on so much that women are like, I'm tapping out. Like, I just don't know that I can, it doesn't make sense for me because I cannot continue to do this. I have to make choices. And, you know, what are you going to choose? You can't not take care of your children. You know, I'm sorry, like, you guys are on your own. You know, here's the cupboard, figure it out, toddler, you know, I got to go to work. Yeah. You know, it's very challenging. And also, just I think the connection here is, and what another trend that I've noticed with women is just not asking for help. So sitting with that in silence, and that shows up at work in terms of how you advocate for your career, but it also probably shows up in not having the conversations that need to happen at home about, like, what makes sense in this situation, given our financial situation. What if I lose my job because I can't go to work? Where are we going to be? So, yeah. Are we sometimes complicit in this? What do you think, for a women's perspective, like, by not asking, do we create some of this?
I don't know if we create it, but we certainly perpetuate it.
We perpetuate
by
it, yeah.
Not asking for help where we need it. I've seen that in our office as well, people burning out and people just having trouble mentally coping. None of us have been through a pandemic before. It's draining, and it's amazing to be living here in the Atlantic bubble, to have the freedoms that we do as compared to other parts of the world. But our perspective is still our perspective and our reality. And it's just the mental drain of as this drags on with, you know, no end in sight, and now the winter coming. And I think everyone was feeling better in the summer, and I can see it. And I worry about the mental health of the team, and I'm trying to think of ways. You know, it's one thing to provide counseling, to give some time off, but you know, what is really going to be impactful in helping people bridge that gap and make it through this with their mental health in intact?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something that I feel like our nervous system kind of relaxed for a bit. We enjoyed summer, we had a break, and now there's just this looming unknown in front of us, and we're kind of going back to a reality that is a new reality, and we don't really understand. We're feeling the exhaustion and the emotion and the adrenaline that has carried us through most of this year is catching up with us, and we're like tapped out for so many levels. So I'm curious then, how can women in business, specifically women in leadership positions, shape the future of work for women? I know this is a huge question, but there's clearly things that we can do to open doors, to make things easier for women to be able to, you know, thrive and, you know, succeed, whatever that looks like for them. So what would be some of your recommendations for women who own businesses who might be listening to this right now, or, you know, leaders who are listening to this right now who want to help? First, I think the helping of self, but like, yeah, what would be your recommendations for them as we kind of ride through this for the next little while?
I would recommend they reach out to women within their industry first. You know, it's great to find allies and advocates within your own industry. I think back to one of the first jobs I had, and a strong female manager at the time, and her basically advocating and saying, you know, yeah, Gina, you're here now, you're doing well, but don't be worrying so much about this company. Think about your career. You have to put your career before any one job. And that was really great advice that I've taken through life. And I've used with my team too, you know, whether it's important to find ways for people to grow. And if it's not within your organization, then to let them go, and if they're good people, you know, let them fly wherever that takes them. I think it's important as women for us to allow people, allow women to move through their career and to advocate for them, whether it's within your organization or another. As I look now, and we have a very strong commercial team here in the city, which is led by women, which is, again, a little bit odd. So when people think of commercial business insurance, so that must be men. And some of the clients that we're working with in life sciences and construction that are female-led companies that have chosen Archway because they're dealing with, they're like, I'm so sick of men coming in here and telling me how, you know, to run my business. And and the refreshing feeling of being able to, I guess, be the old girls club in a sense. But but that's a part of it too, right? Is that people are attracted, it's something that looks like you is safe. And so as women, I think we need to understand how that will, the mechanism and why that's functioned, not that it's to necessarily suppress women, but it's that compelling feeling of, you know, well, this person looks like me, so I think they'll do a good job. And to break away from that and to promote women into those positions.
Yeah, 100%. And so, you know, one of the things that I know that we talked about initially was, and a piece that I notice for women a lot is just not asking for help. And so I think right now we need help because we have not been here before. This is new. We didn't prepare for this. We weren't given a rule book. We weren't given the training. Like, we didn't have the resources. So we have been doing the best we can with the tools that we've currently got. So, if you, you know, when I hear this a lot too, like, there's been a lot of unpaid labor this year, right? Like, people feel like they've worked a lot more than they have traditionally because of a lot of different things. And knowing that it's intended to be all hands on deck when you're in a pandemic. Like, I don't think anybody's saying, and I shouldn't have done that. I, you know, people who are loyal and committed and engaged in their jobs want to be all in. But you know, if women are feeling in over their head or feeling burned out or feeling like they want more, I should have a raise, or I want to get promoted, and are not having those conversations, what would you suggest for them to do? And what would you suggest leaders to do to create the conditions for them, women, to feel comfortable doing that?
Yeah. Part of it, depending on the industry, yeah, there's a lot of people suffering, and but there's new businesses emerging, and there's businesses that continue to thrive. And you know, I think you need to look at where you are. You know, did half the people in your company just get laid off? Maybe now is not the time to, you know, make a power move, or maybe it is. Right. You know,
yes,
because they can't afford to lose you now. I think if you're struggling, it's really important to speak up, because there's we're all tired. Well, we're all struggling, but. If it's really overwhelming, it's important to share that. And as female leaders, I think we have a job to bring some compassion to the situation as well, to understand, to remember who this person was pre-pandemic and yes, who they will continue to be. And just, you know, if you need to look at flexible work arrangements, then work with that person to help them get through this, because it's a period of time. It's, yes, we don't know when it's ending, but
hopefully soon.
You know, find a way to take care of them and help them through it, and they'll be there for you. On the flip side, we don't know how long this is going to be, so don't put your career, well, I'll just wait until the pandemic's over. Well, no. If you are on a certain path, if you're looking for a raise or an advancement, I don't think you should necessarily delay that ask or put in voicing that desire. There's always going to be something. You know, when the pandemic's over, it'll be something else. Yeah, there's always an excuse to wait to.
Yes.
Well, maybe next year when the kids are older, or maybe next year when Johnny retires. Well, no, like, don't. I think it's important to speak your mind.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, uncertainty is the conditions of doing business today. So, you know, learning how to take back control. And I love what you said about taking a power move. I think whatever that looks like, whether that is working, like getting some boundaries put in place, because, you know, at home, so that you can have some dedicated time to really be able to perform. I love the distinction between, are you working a job or are you working a career, and really getting clear on that in terms of how you are working and what you are saying yes to, what you're saying no to, those types of things. And definitely, I think that asking for help right now or advocating for your career lets your employer know that you're invested. And so to not be having those conversations when things are so challenging is, you know, you're not being part of the solution. I think there's a lot of apprehension, a lot of kind of guilt out there. Well, who am I to ask for more in the middle of, you know, an economic downturn? I just believe you won't. It's good development to ask for it, to learn to ask, because if you can do it now during difficult times, then it's going to be much easier for you to do it in other times when things are different, right? So regardless of the answer that you get, the ask is an important thing for us to learn how to do to improve our confidence.
Put it on the table.
Totally.
And in a year from now, you know, or immediately, who knows?
Who knows?
Could happen, but you never know unless you ask, right? And on the flip side, the asking for help, I don't see that as a weakness. We tend to put the highest load and burden on our most productive and valued workers, and yes. they tend to keep saying yes, 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 and that's not necessarily the way to advance your career either. And I know I struggle with this. I still struggle with saying no. I don't like to say no. But when you learn to say no, it gives you that breathing space to really excel in the, first of all, kind of step back and examine when you're saying yes to everything, you know, what are you really passionate about? What do you really care about? Where do you want to take your career? Who knows? Mm-hmm. You're just saying yes to everything versus it forces you to kind of evaluate things and prioritize what's important to you and who you want to be and show up as every day at the office. Yeah. So really important. And it will help prevent burnout as well. Yeah,
I know. I know, you know, I think this has been a great year. You know, we can say all the kinds of reasons why it hasn't been a great year, but this has been a great year for reflecting on really what matters, you know, and really being able to sit back and say, okay, I used to work a different way. Now, you know, that's changed. So that allowed me to step back and say, I don't want that again. You know, what that was is gone, and I'm happy to let that go. So redefining who we are and redefining how we want to work and what we want out of our lives, ultimately our careers, I think is a tremendous opportunity for women that we've been striving to get that for so long. And I think it's in front of us right now. We need to capitalize on it, which requires us to talk about it. And sounds like getting a network of women in around you to help you get to that place is an important next step as well.
It really is. People that will advocate for you, people that can open doors and will make introductions for you and help advance your career. Those people are really important to identify and to nurture those relationships.
Yeah. Well, you sound like an amazing advocate for women, Gina. It's just been a pleasure having you here. And everything that you have said, I've been like, yes, 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 yes. Like, oh my goodness, you know? So thank you so much for giving your time and imparting your wisdom and your experience for the other women who are going to be listening here. We love Archway Insurance. We love this learning about your company and the growth that you've had. And I'm sure that if women are curious about more about what it is that you do or want to know more about you, they can reach out to you. Archway Insurance is your website. I guess that's how we find you.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. LinkedIn or any
You're
of
on LinkedIn
those.
Too.
Yes.
The social channels. That's great. Okay. And so leaving with one last thought, one last, you know, pearl of wisdom, if you could, you know, for women who are listening right now. You know, what's the thing that you really want to leave them thinking about as we close our conversation today?
You kind of inspired me there towards the end there. I think we are sort of in the midst of a great reset in terms of the workforce in general. The pandemic has really dramatically shifted things. And I do believe whether it's working from home, whether it's modified, and just the ratcheting down of the kids' activities as well, the after hours, rubber chicken dinners and what have you. It's a great opportunity for us to shape how the workforce is going to look on the other end of this. People talk about the new normal or back to normal, throw that out the window. There is no normal. There is no back. Let's move forward again. Really all about, you know, let's not worry about where we were. Where do we want to go? And I think women have an amazing opportunity right now to shape what the workforce is going to look like and the ability to really control how things and how we emerge as a workforce and what work versus home versus social versus everything that environment looks like post pandemic. So I think we need to have these conversations and really consciously look at, understand the power and the opportunity that's in front of us to really revolutionize things and create a new work world that works for everyone who's in it, not just traditional.
Yeah, not just a few. Yeah, I love that. I mean, I love leaving on a positive note and looking at the hope and looking at the opportunity that exists in front of us. It's going to require us to do the work, though. You know, we need to have the conversations and we need to step up and lead and talk about what was not working and what it is that we need moving forward. So thank you for being a leader who allows those types of conversations to happen. And it's just been a pleasure getting to know you. So thanks for being here on the show. Thanks so much, Gina.
Thank you. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
Hello again. This is Harriet Schumacher, and thank you for listening and tuning into The Leadership Show. I really hope that you enjoyed what we were discussing today. And if you did, if you liked what you heard and you want to continue to be a part of our community, here's a couple of ways that you can do that. First, make sure that you subscribe to this podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. You want to make sure that you get our releases coming to you each week. And if you would love to give us a rating and give us some feedback about the show, of course, we would love to hear your thoughts. And on another note, if you want to be a part of our community, we have a private Facebook group for women in leadership. It is actually called the Women in Leadership Group. You can find us on Facebook. We have over 1,300 professional women who are inside that community who are having amazing conversations right now about what they care the most about. I go live inside that group every Tuesday to give you free training and free coaching. So we hope that you join. We'd love to see you over there. So thanks so much, everyone. Enjoy your day, and we look forward to hearing you and being with you again next week. Take care.